have really some of the greatest men. God is using the greatest way right here at Bethel Baptist Church. And Brother Wall is one of those as well, giving your undivided attention. Come and speak to us.
Thank you, Pastor. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. I expected some questions like I already received this morning. Well, what is your connection? Why would you be down here for the ordination? Well, our relationship with the Rays go back a long time. But the story that came to my mind this morning was I'm very appreciative of the Rays because I was able to get rid of a dog to them. We had a miniature Jack Russell that had the attitude of a pit bull. And he didn't know he was just a miniature Jack Russell. He thought he was a pit bull. And his name was Zacchaeus. We called him Zach for short. And they came through when Zach was just, how old were you, 11? Maybe 11, 12. And we saw there was an affinity connection there. And I thought, this is my chance to get rid of this obnoxious dog. Take it to China. Well, I never made it to China, but anyway. The only thing that bothers me is they changed the dog's name rather than their son's name. I didn't understand. Zach became Jack instead of changing his name. Good night. Dog deserved his name. He was a wee little man. But anyway, that's only one story, but there are many, and maybe a few will come out. Matthew chapter 5, the greatest sermon ever preached. Preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. This past February, I was privileged to be in the Holy Land, and as is common on those tours, we stood on the Mount of Beatitudes, and I had a few moments to reflect on our Savior standing down below, looking up on the natural amphitheater formed there on that hillside, and declaring this amazing sermon. This morning in the Sunday School Hour, I want us just to consider two verses here where the Lord challenged those that were listening and you and I that we be salty and bright. God wants us to live our lives to where we are constantly an influence, salty, and that we are constantly shining forth His light, but not in a dull, a low amperage way, but that we would be bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let's pray together. Father, help us as we consider this passage of Scripture to understand what you're saying, and then, Lord, to make application that our lives would be different as we allow your word to shape us and to form us and to change us. And so, Lord, do the work that only you can do by the power of your Spirit. And we trust you to meet with us in a special way today, for it's in your name we ask it. Amen. Just several different thoughts here. First of all, the Lord is making a statement of identification. Ye are. He made that statement twice. Ye are the salt of the earth, verse 13. Ye are the light of the world. And so very simply, to begin the Sunday school lesson this morning, either you are a child of light or a child of darkness. One or the other. There's only one or two groups you can be a part of this morning as we consider that. And that is all based on the reality of a relationship with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Have you been saved? If you've been saved, then you are a child of light, and you are to be the light of the world. You're to be shining forth God's light. And what the Lord is really saying here is that Christians are just not moderately different than the world. They are in their very core distinctly different from the world. We are not to be like the unbelievers that we work with and that we live by. And this distinction is to be as vast and as great as light and darkness. Now, I don't know if you've ever been someplace where it is absolutely devoid of any light at all, but it can be an oppressive situation. Many years ago, I was on a choir tour with our Christian school, and we went by Carlsbad Caverns, and we took the tour deep into the caverns there in New Mexico, and then they had us sit on some benches, and then the National Park Ranger, whatever, who was giving the tour said, "Now, just stay where you're at, nobody move, I'm going to shut off the light." So he shut off the light. Man, boom, it was dark. But you know, normally after a little bit of being in the dark, your eyes adjust and they can gather just little glimmers of light. But that never happened. And he said, "Now your eyes should be well adjusted," after a few moments. He said, "Why don't you just wait?"